My friend said she was cleaning her kitchen the other day, and she was kind of like, you know, like going crazy. I don't know. She was, it sounded like she was.
Wow. Okay.
It sounded like she was kind of losing.
You got some neat friends.
She had texted a girlfriend, hey, your kid left sippy cup or something at the house. Come get it, you know, whenever. So she's cleaning the kitchen. She's in a mood. Everyone's making her crazy. Grabs a lipstick, puts it on like chapstick. It was bright red. He said, my lips were so dry, I needed chapstick, but there was lipstick that I found. And then she opened the door.
She forgot.
You forgot it. Her friend's Austin came to the door. He was trying to be nice. Baby laughed so hard.
Did he say something to her?
No. She said he looked freaked out.
No, I'm crying.
Too. Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Things get so intense in your house sometimes you can't think of things like that. Oh man,
I'm sweaty.
That was an intense story.
Thank you.
This is Emily Thomas, and you are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. Welcome back, ladies. You're listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast, the show dedicated to helping you not run away from home. Each week, I do my best to make sure that you learn something new, laugh a lot, and remember that you're already enough. This is episode 137, and I'm talking to my friend, Wendy Speak. Before we start, I just wanted to remind you that at the top of this episode, you heard a tiny snippet of the Strugglin' Sister show. Twice a month, my sister Katie and I release additional content for supporters of the show, so if you're interested in more laughing, more learning, and the ability to contribute to what we're doing here each week, we'd love to have you join us. Just head over to patreon.com/momstrugglingwell to start listening to all the episodes we've released up to this point. Okay, so Wendy Speak. She is an author, a speaker, an actress, and a mom who struggles with anger. She co-authored the book Triggers and recently the book called Parenting Scripts, and I needed to get her on the show and talk about what to do when our kids freak us right out. We had a great conversation about what we're supposed to do if our kids want to go into like the performing arts and it makes us feel uncomfortable. I mean, my kids don't, but she said she has people asking her, like, what if my kid wants to be an actress? She talks a lot about how she guards her margin. Why is that important? She talks about a point that she got to when she was tired of keeping on being convicted about all the things she was doing wrong, and she wanted to actually change. We talk a lot about anger, a lot about triggers, and how on earth do you manage to not only take care of yourself and sacrifice for other people? This episode is full of really great practical tips, and I know you're going to love it. Let's go ahead and get started on my interview with Wendy. Hey, Wendy, how are you this morning?
Well, hey there, I'm good. Thank you so much. Got a lot going on, but I've been looking forward to this. So I just locked all the kids in their rooms and told them, don't make a noise for about 45 minutes.
So good. Okay, so you have how many kids?
I have three boys, and actually two of them are at school right now. I only have one homeschooled kid today.
Okay, so they all are homeschooled on different days, or just one is homeschooled?
I have one kid that goes to school full time. I have two kids that are part time, and both of the homeschooled kids would be at class today, but one of them broke his arm really, really badly. Like really bad fracture. So he's got a whole lot of pain going on. So I'm keeping him home just to make sure I can take care of him with the ibuprofen, Tylenol, you know, one right after the other every 3 hours. So
when did that happen?
We're busy though. It happened just a few days ago like 3 days ago.
Is he taking it okay?
He has a really high pain threshold, really high tolerance for pain. And we joke that he stepped on scorpions and cried, but it really, really was excruciating for him. Like he became emotionally distraught. They had to bring in a therapist to the hospital to calm him down, to just get the IV in. So yeah, it's been a hard couple of days. And he was supposed to go to church camp this weekend, so we're going to have to cancel that and keep him home.
Oh, that's sad. Okay, so tell me about the actress thing. I'm interested in that. How did you become a writer?
Sure. So ever since I was really young, I knew that I was a storyteller. I knew I wanted to be an actress. I remember I went to Disneyland with my youth group at church, and with all the rides, everything's fun, right? But we were walking by this one area where they were putting on a show. There were actors putting on a show. It was all 50s and 60s music, and there was this one number. It was My Boyfriend's Back and You're Gonna Get in Trouble song, and the girl's out there shaking her hips and shaking her finger at the guy, and he comes out on a motorcycle. And I remember watching that thinking, that's what I want to do with my life. I want to be a performer. And so that was all I did, elementary, junior high, high school, went to college to study it. But I was there at college, and I was also a sold out Christ follower. And I remember being really, really sick at some point and just sick, sick, sick. And I was in my little dorm bathroom, and I had the humidifier going and the shower going, and I was drinking Robitussin out of the bottle, and I was praying. I'm like, oh God, college is hard. And I was on the East Coast and the weather was terrible. And I was just telling the Lord, I'll do anything with my life. You just have to make it clear to me. And he said, you keep honing your skills as a storyteller, and you keep following me, and you keep telling people about me, and I'm going to bring those three things together. And I just remember it was such a clear vision that it didn't matter what kind of storytelling it was.
Okay.
I was going to be telling people about Jesus with my storytelling. And so after college, I was working as an actress in Hollywood on guest spots, on TV shows, and I got married and moved to Dallas, Texas for a while, and I did a lot of commercial work. But I knew that the end game was going to be speaking to women about Christ. And so I started doing that for local churches, one-woman shows that allowed me to transition into the gospel. And I thought, maybe I should write. And this was after we got married. So I sat down and tried to write, and it was like chewing cardboard. Mm-hmm. It was, I just didn't have the skills to write, which was funny because anything I performed, I wrote first. Hmm. So I started a blog to help me find my writing voice. And then all of a sudden that blog became a book, and the book became three books. And now I'm trying to fit in opportunities to go see women at churches, which was the vision all along, but I'm just so busy with the writing and the kiddos and, you know, all the stuff.
Yeah.
But that's how it all kind of goes together.
Isn't that neat? It does feel like a winding road that you're kind of confused about until you're like, oh, it does. He does all make it all make sense.
Yeah. And I get calls and letters from moms all the time saying, oh my goodness, my child wants to be an actor, or my child wants to be a musician, or my child wants to dot, dot, dot. And I always say, go for it, because you never know how God's going to repurpose those skills in some other way for his glory. So let him go get skills. And God's the one that's in charge of them using those skills. So that's been my story just over and over. He'll grow me in one way, and then he repurposes those skills in another that really ultimately points people to him. And that's just been an exciting journey.
That's really good, because I think sometimes we can be so motivated by fear as parents, and we don't want our kids to do things that could get them to where they're focusing on themselves or focusing on, you know, so all that performance stuff can feel a little like that's not a good place to be, but it's not true.
Right. Absolutely. Well, and just thinking that my kid has to know what he wants to be when he grows up at 12.
Yeah.
And then I've got to start him on that path now. I have that tendency. If I look back to when I was 12 and the things I was doing in my free time and the time I was giving to my studies, I was being a kid most of the time, just being a kid. Now that I'm the adult, my 14-year-old, you know, if you want to be this, this, and this, these are the steps you should be taking now to get to the steps you need to take at 16, to get to college, to get to life, to pay your bills. And sometimes I can get, you know, totally stressed out and throw that on my kid.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because we're like, you're not living here forever.
Let's
get you in the right direction.
Yeah. But sometimes I look at him and his dreams, and I want him to attack his dreams like a 43-year-old, because that's where my view of how to get somewhere is as a 43-year-old.
Yeah.
But he's a 14-year-old. And so that's a fine line, because God gave him me to...
As a resource.
Yeah, as a resource, but not for me to push him to do it the way I would do it right now in this life stage.
Yeah, it's tricky. So I don't know if you remember when you were a kid, but you messed a lot of stuff up. I'm pretty sure I was a great kid, but my mom, when I ask her, reminds me that I was not, in fact, as perfect as I thought I was. So even when we were acting like little, tiny monsters, our moms cared for us and kept us alive. Doesn't that deserve flowers? Yes, it does. So Mother's Day is coming up, and your mom deserves more than just one day of celebration. So when you send your mom or a mom you love Pro flowers for Mother's Day, she's guaranteed to have fresh flowers for at least 7 days. Right now, my listeners can send 100 colorful blooms with a free glass vase for $19.99 plus shipping and handling with the promo code MSW. With Pro Flowers, you can get all of your Mother's Day shopping done for all the moms you know all at once. You just choose the delivery date you want and it's guaranteed. They will even deliver it on Mother's Day. The only way to get 100 colorful blooms with a free glass vase for $19.99 is to visit proflowers.com, click on the blue microphone on the upper right-hand corner, and use promo code MSW. That's proflowers.com, coupon code MSW. So, I saw on Instagram that you said you've just kind of had a hard season lately.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, I know that we're going to get to this topic of mommy anger. And one of my biggest triggers, one of the things that causes me to lose it probably more than anything else, is multitasking, is just having too many things going on at once.
Yeah.
And I joke that writing triggers was my biggest trigger.
Okay.
Just having anything going on outside of taking care of these people, it's like anything that they do then that's being a child becomes the straw that broke this mama's back, you know, because I already had too many things going on.
So how does that work with you live in California? You have a history of acting and perform. Like it feels like I lived in California for a while and it's remarkably showy, not necessarily in a bad, I mean, kind of bad, but it's also you get in it and it just feels normal, you know? And then when I moved back to Texas and Arizona, I was like, oh my gosh, I can like wear sweats and not feel like an absolute slug. I don't know. But I lived in Orange County. I don't know if that's just...
Yeah. I'm not a big showboat. I don't wear much makeup. I wear lip gloss and mascara. And my
is it hard to pull back
spunky.
That?
We're not in LA. We don't live in LA and I don't have a job where I'm putting on a show for people most days. I mean, when I go speak at women's groups, they're usually mom's groups. It's usually mops groups. And those girls are showing up in their yoga pants. So I don't go big. I don't feel a lot of pressure to put on a show, but I do feel a lot of pressure to get this kid to this location and this kid to that location. And then I got to be serving at church. And I want to also be doing this with my husband in my house. I need to get that put together. And so sometimes I think that your listeners know that the multitasking that can really tax us most isn't so much the big showy things. It's just getting through life and all the things that we have to do every day. And it's those real things, not the putting on a show for people things, that can overwhelm me most.
But they're all good things. So how do you balance, like balance is like not a real thing, but how do you know what to let go? Because the book is great. The speaking's great.
Right.
The kids are great.
Right. Well, I say that I'm always dropping balls. I'm just trying to make sure that I'm dropping the rubber balls and not the glass balls. I can't drop my kiddos. I can't drop making love to my husband. I can't drop the couple of speaking engagements a year that I do. Those are the glass balls. But that might mean... Just the other day, I left a phone message for a friend of mine apologizing for being such a lousy friend. I said, there will be a season where I rock it at being a friend again. But right now, I can't fit being consistent and available into my life. And so that might be where some of the margin happens. I love gardening. And where I'm sitting right now in my house, I'm looking out into my garden and the weeds are as tall as the fruit trees. I mean, it is atrocious. And I just decided this year I'm going to pick lemons, but I'm going to have to take a machete and hack a path to the lemon tree because I just can't do it all right now. And so just like you need margin in your bank account so you don't get down to the barrel of your money and have that stress, I need margin in my life. So I'm not serving at church. I'm not writing blog posts. I decided I can either write books or I can write blog posts.
Okay.
I'm not doing that. Perhaps someone listening is saying, yeah, but I don't do the fancy in front of people stuff that you do. But maybe it's a matter of, for this season, you can't hold babies in the nursery during the Sunday service. What you really need is to sit next to your husband, you know, hip to hip in the pew. Maybe that's how you give a little bit of margin. Maybe not every kid gets to do a sport every season. Maybe, you know, it's the real practical things. Maybe you do two really nice home-cooked meals a week and you make them big enough that you're having leftovers. So there's four nights right there. And then you do fast food and you do a frozen pizza. So it's finding where the margin can fit. Because when my kid comes to me and complains about his homework, I'm trying to think of just something very ordinary, or I've brought dinner to the table and everyone's melting down because there's broccoli again. If I'm not overtaxed with my own life, I can look at that child and say, that child's being a child. Well, yeah. Look at that. I'm their mom. I'm going to help them cope with being a child right now. But when I'm so stressed about all the things I'm supposed to be doing, and I just barely got the broccoli to the table, and then they complain, I feel like a victim.
Yeah.
And when I feel like a victim, that's when I victimize. When I feel hurt, that's when I hurt them back. And I don't want to hurt them anymore. I don't want to be an angry mom. So I've got to get my own cred together and make sure I've got the margin to mom. They're going to be a kid, but I've got to make sure I can do the verb, which is momming well.
Yeah,
even absolutely. When I'm struggling.
Yes. Okay. So talk about, like, what was it like before when you were angry? Like, and how did you get to the point where you thought, we're doing a new thing? There's got to be a new thing.
Yeah. Well, I have to tell you that I think you can get to the angry place lots of different ways, but two ways primarily. The first is you can get there because you had an angry mom or angry parents. And of course you swore, I'm never going to do that when I'm a mom. But then you have that third child and something in you breaks. And all of a sudden this stuff just comes out of your heart and over your lips. And it's like you're on a crazy train and you can't get off until the last word gets out of you. And your eyes are bulging and your nostrils are flaring. And all of a sudden you're doing that stuff that you were raised with. Or like me, I was never yelled at a day in my life. And I had the third child and something broke. And all of a sudden, all this brokenness started streaming out of my mouth. And it turns out I had postpartum depression. I had adrenal fatigue. I had hormonal imbalance. And I had three very strong-willed boys. And I'm not a strong-willed woman. I'm a nurturer. I just want to make cookies and have everybody love me back. And and I just got overwhelmed. And I think in that place of feeling powerless, I started grabbing, I started clawing for power. And a loud voice and anger feels a lot like power.
Yeah.
And so I think because I felt powerless, I all of a sudden started just throwing out these inappropriate displays of power. And so how did I make that switch? Well, first I recognized it. And I think that there was also a very long season where I felt convicted. And I'm guessing you've got people sitting there nodding their heads right now. Yeah, you feel convicted. But I hit this point where I said, Jesus, I don't want to feel convicted anymore. I want you to change me. I'm really tired of ugly crying every night. And I remember my husband used to reach over and touch me in bed in a very non-sexual way and say, honey, just go to bed because God's mercies are new tomorrow. And I would just, I would explode at him and say, yes, but I'm going to get up. I'm going to pick up those new mercies and I'm going to do the same crud tomorrow that I did today. Yeah. Nothing's changing. I'm spending time in God's word. He says, abide in me. I'll abide in you. You'll bear fruit. The fruit of my spirit is love, joy, peace. Like, I mean, I would holler back at Jesus, all of his words. And say, so now what? Why aren't you changing me? And I think that one of the main points for me was that scripture where God tells me the fruit of his spirit in my life. And then I read it one or two verses further. And it said, when you live by the spirit, you got to keep in step with the spirit. And all of a sudden, it wasn't about God change me. It was about Wendy, you already know what's true. The Spirit of God is living in you. You've got to keep in step with my spirit. That means if you don't feel loving, if you don't feel like you even have the bandwidth for patience, you need to be patient because I'm in you and you're in me. And these kids need you to mom with patience.
Yeah.
And all the rest of the fruit too. But it starts with a fruit of self-control. That's the muscular fruit. That's the fruit that God says, put a little muscle in it and the rest of my fruit is going to flow out of you.
Yeah, that's interesting because we do wait till we feel it or we feel like we're failing until we're like, man, being patient is like super fun today. It's not going to be fun and we're probably not going to feel it first. But I mean, I tell my kids all the time, I didn't ask you, you know, your opinion about this. I asked you to do this thing, but we want to give our opinion about it. Have you ever felt the struggle of loving motherhood, but also wanting to pursue passions that you have outside of motherhood? Do you have dreams that you want to pursue that kind of make it hard to fully experience with joy the mundane tasks that it takes to run a home? Well, then the new book, An Intentional Life by Karen Stott, will be a breath of fresh air to you. Karen shares her journey into motherhood and her struggle of losing herself to her roles and feeling unsupported in the dreams she had for her passions outside the home. As her story unfolds, you'll be empowered and encouraged to both chase after your God-given dreams, but also find joy, contentment, laughter, and peace right where you are, just as she did. Karen Stott is an actual friend of mine, and she's the real deal. If you're looking for an uplifting, fun, inspiring read for the summer, go grab your copy of An Intentional Life today. My copy should arrive tomorrow, and I can't wait to get started. That's An Intentional Life by my friend Karen Stott. And I put it on the homepage for you at amazon.com/shop/momstrugglingwell. So here's a question. What do you do with all your photos? We all have a ton. I don't know about you, but I take like 19 tries of the same picture. I may have issues. So even though most of the pictures on our phones aren't that great, we all have ones that really are. For those favorite photos you have, you've got to check out Canvas People. Canvas People print your favorite photos on Canvas for a really unique, beautiful print. I know I've told you before, but I love Canvas People and their stuff is all over my walls. It makes my house look very fancy, and that is all I've ever wanted in life, guys, is to look very fancy. No, but it really does make our house feel homey, and it's a really easy way to get those great memories on your walls so you can actually look at them. I know you're going to love Canvas People. I have a special code just for Mom Struggling Well listeners to get your own 11x14 Canvas People print for free. You just pay shipping and handling, and you'll get a customized canvas print that you're going to love free. Visit them at canvaspeople.com today, upload your favorite and most memorable photo, and enter special code MSW at checkout. So to get your free 11x14 print only from Canvas People, go to canvaspeople.com today and enter promo code MSW. So in this hard season, I mean, you've given up serving at church. What I think some women don't know what to give up because they feel like they've already given up as many things as they can and it's just still not working. Or they're right. Feeling like you. I'm having the quiet time. I'm doing all the things and I'm still a big jerk. Like, what the heck am I supposed to do?
So in the book Triggers, we break the triggers down into two categories. One, we call them external triggers, the things that our kids are doing. You know, they can't get on their shoes and get in the car, mm-hmm. the back talk, the disrespect. And then the second half are internal triggers, which are really things about us.
Yeah. It's so important to know what those are because you can be triggered and have no idea.
Depression can be a trigger where you're angry at them, but there's something going on in you. One of my, really all of my external triggers, even the things my kids are doing that make me angry, are really saying more about me than it is about them. Because your two-year-old that's being two is actually doing their job at two.
Yeah.
And what they're saying when they're doing their job at two is, Mom, I need you to do your job at 42. I need you to mom me because my meltdown right now is me calling out for you to help me. The teenager, when they are being disrespectful, if they're pushing boundaries, they're actually doing what a 14, a 16, an 18-year-old is supposed to do. They're saying, hey, where are my boundaries at this age? And you get to walk in and say, oh, I'll remind you where your boundaries are. Oh, you don't like that? Well, this natural consequence here will do the parenting for me. I don't have to yell at you. Because when you do that thing and it doesn't go well for you, it not going well for you is going to be the tool that parents you. I'm not having to do anything angry. It was a huge come to Jesus moment for me when I realized I didn't have to fight my kids.
Okay.
Because when my kids fight me, I thought that was an invitation into the ring, and I just had to put on my gloves and start swinging.
Or I feel like I don't have a choice. Like if you fought me, like I'm drug into the ring, even if I don't feel like it, I have to play, but I don't.
The follow-up book to Triggers is called Parenting Scripts, and it's writing yourself a new script if you are caught in the habit of, no, I have to fight back because that's what we do. It's like, well, really? So why don't you, Emily, sit down? When do you feel them engage you in a fight? Mm-hmm. Is it over food? Is it over homework? Is it over devices? Is it over what time they have to come home at night? When is it? And then when you're not in that moment and you know that's the trigger that makes you feel angry, you say, how am I going to respond forever and always now? And it's not going to be a fight. And it might be the simple words, sorry, dollface, I don't fight you. Hmm. I'm not going to fight you. What I'd like you to do right now, go into your room. You can take a nap. You can play with your toys. You can read your books. But when you're ready to come out, I want you to remember, I don't fight you. So I asked you to set the table, and that's what I need you to do tonight. Hmm. Or whatever it is. I'm trying to cover all the different ages here.
Right.
But we can make a plan to not fight. And I find that I have internal scripts that I speak to myself that have become my external scripts. So I say, I am calm, I am kind, I am consistent, and I'm not going to fight you. And that's what a coach does. So if we go back to the whole boxing analogy, the coach stays on the outside of the ring. The coach doesn't crawl through the ropes and start swinging. He says, ding, 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 everybody to your corners. In my house, that means everybody go to your room or just calm down for a moment. Mm-hmm. And then I walk on the outside of the ropes, and a coach leans over the ropes, puts their hands on the shoulders of their sweaty little fighter and says, okay, what do you need to get through this battle? Because I'm not going to jump in there and fight you. And so my kids know, I say it all the time, I'm calm, I'm kind, I'm consistent, and I'm not going to fight you. And I'll say it if they're fighting each other. Listen, guys, we don't fight in our house. Everybody to your corners, everybody to your rooms, come back and try it again. And I'll say that when I call them to the table and they come and immediately complain. Or one comes and two of them, you know, are 10 minutes, you know, dragging behind. I say, okay, everybody to your room, let's try that again. But I don't have to fight them because they disrespected me by not coming to the table. They're saying, hey, mom, I'm still a kid and I've got more growing up to do. Would you help me? Yeah, sure. I'll help you because that's not the way to come to the table. So go back to your room. Let's try that again.
Okay.
But I don't think you even asked me that. You asked me something else.
No, it's great.
I remember what got me into it. We were talking about external triggers and internal triggers. Yeah. One of my external triggers is a messy house, just like multitasking can.
Yes.
So if my house is a mess and then my kids do something loud,
yes,
I cannot cope with their loud because there's already, it's like my house is loud.
No, right? 100%.
There's stuff on every single counter. And then they come in laughing. I mean, I'm talking laughing. I'm not even talking yelling.
Oh, yeah.
They come in laughing. And I feel like they have done something to
me. Over the top. No, it's like stabbing your...
Yes,
like stab.
My heart and my eardrums and my sensibilities. And I go crazy. And so I had to learn, okay, I need to prioritize at least one or two rooms to be peaceful, put together rooms.
Mm.
Because I can kind of camp out there when I feel that I'm not coping well.
Okay.
That was a practical thing that I did. Another practical thing a mom can do when, like, what trigger do you even start with when everything makes you angry?
Hmm.
I would just start with one. Just start with one. So if you've got multiple little toddlers and nap time just sucks, or bedtime, right?
Yeah.
Because when everybody was coming out of bed all the time, my husband was traveling for work in that season. Like,
oh,
he was,
man,
all the time. And I remember one night I put the big kid into bed. I put the middle kid into bed. I put the baby to bed. And then the middle kid comes out. And then, you know, and I was going, I shouldn't say I remember one time. Like, it was like every night, right? It was very, very stressful. And the oldest child, his deal was he was never satisfied. So maybe the trigger really is discontentment. My child's discontentment drives me crazy.
Yeah.
But it would like peak at bedtime. But my middle child's anxiety would peak at bedtime.
Oh my goodness.
And then the baby just was being a baby at bedtime. So I finally got everybody down and my husband's out of town. And I was walking from the middle kid's room to my room. And I was just covered in spit up and sweat, and my hair was nasty. And I just started taking off my clothes and dropping them, you know, like just dropping them wherever I took them off. I had a trail of clothes. And I go to my room, and I went in the bathroom, and I turn on the shower, and the steam's rising, and I'm brushing my teeth, and my eyes are closed. So you're with me,
yes,
right? We got awkward, but we've got the steam in the shower and the minty freshness of the toothpaste, and my eyes are closed. And then I feel something at my hip. And I scream. So he screams, it's the middle boy. And I said, Brody, what are you doing? I'm grabbing for the towel. And, you know, he said, I just needed to smell you one more time.
Oh.
And I love that story because he was having a real emotional need from me.
Yeah.
But I was having a real emotional need for me too.
Yes.
And I think that's why we can't cope with what they need from us sometimes, is because we're struggling so much with what we need. And that's what motherhood is, man. It is just a laying down and a laying down and a laying down to serve others. So how do we prioritize laying down our lives like Christ laid down his life without actually dying?
Mm-hmm.
How do we take care of ourselves and sacrifice? And I think I had to set boundaries. I had to say no to a lot of things. And then I had to take the things that were triggering me, and I had to start dealing with them one at a time. And I had to practice that spiritual fruit, that muscular fruit of self-control, and say, even if I don't feel gentle, I need to respond gently. Even if I don't feel joyful, I need to choose joy today, or at least maybe not today. That's a really big block of time. Maybe just this afternoon.
Yeah. Especially when you see like bedtime is hard. I usually have a bad mood at bedtime. So then tackle bedtime and say, you know, even just your own mood. And I think for me, expecting them to act like kids is really important, because I do. I expect them to act like grownups, and then I'm just absolutely appalled at their behavior.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about BioClarity. Until recently, I had a really bad habit of falling into my bed at night without washing my face. I'm just so tired by the end of the day. All I want to do is go to bed. But in order to have great looking skin, you have to maintain a skincare routine. That's where BioClarity comes in. They have two different daily routines you can choose from. The Clear Skin routine targets the root cause of breakouts, and you can see results in as little as 2 weeks. Their other routine is called the Essentials routine. That one focuses on hydrating, minimizing redness, and evening out your skin tone. What is special about BioClarity is the Floralux, which is a form of chlorophyll, which soothes away blemishes, is an antioxidant, and has anti-inflammatory properties. It's basically like a green juice for your face. One of the best parts about BioClarity is it's delivered straight to you in an easy-to-use three-step skincare routine. It's 100% vegan, gluten, and cruelty-free. The skin smoothie is so lightweight, does not make my face shiny. I'm really loving BioClarity. So start a healthy habit and get glowing, clear skin by going to BioClarity.com. Listeners of the show will get their first month for only $9.95 plus free shipping. That's a $20 savings, and it comes with a 100% risk-free money-back guarantee. So that's BioClarity.com, coupon code MSW.
So I'm multiple years into this transformation process. Triggers came out 2 years ago. So like I should have this down pat, right?
Well,
probably should have had it all figured out before we wrote the book. But just this last year, I was reading Deuteronomy. Here, I've got my Bible here. I'm going to open it up. Deuteronomy chapter 11. You're going to want to put this in the show notes because y'all need to like highlight the whole thing. Okay. Deuteronomy 11. I'm going to read a little chunk here.
Yeah.
This is God speaking to his people, that's you and me through faith, we've been grafted into this message. He's speaking to us about our behavior and not our children's behavior. So I have the whole thing highlighted, but the word you, the very first word, I have it circled, asterisked, underlined as well. You, Emily, shall therefore love the Lord your God and always keep his charge, his statutes, his ordinances, and his commandments. And know this day that I am not speaking with your sons, who have not known and who have not seen the discipline of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, and his outstretched arm. I'm not talking to them, is what God's saying to us here.
Interesting.
His signs, his works, which he did in the midst of Egypt to Pharaoh. Emily, I know a little bit of your story, and I know that God has proven himself faithful to you. He has not done that to the same degree to your children. That makes me want to cry. He will in his own way and through their own story. But right now, he has proven himself to you. And he said, you therefore shall love me. You shall keep my charge. You shall follow my commandments.
Yeah.
Okay, so verse 7, but your own eyes have seen all the great work of the Lord, which he did. You, again, circle, asterisk, underline. You shall therefore keep every commandment which I am commanding you today, so that you may be strong and go in and possess the land into which you are about to cross to possess it. Which reminds me, Emily, of another verse. I don't know if you ever holler at your kids, honor me so that it'll go well with you and you will have a long life in the land that the Lord has promised to give you, right? The first commandment with a blessing.
Yes.
We hurl that at our kids with our nasty tone, right? You should honor me so it'll go well with you. And God here is saying, no, Mom, you should honor me so it'll go well with you. And then guess what happens? So that you may prolong your days on the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give to them and to their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. Okay, hop over to verse 18. You shall therefore, now we're bringing our kids into this, okay?
Okay.
You shall therefore impress these words of mine on your heart and on your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. And verse 19, you shall teach them to your sons, talking of them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you rise up, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Now, this is the kicker, so that your days and the days of your sons may be multiplied on the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give to them as long as the heavens remain above the earth. So what's this about? This is that you and I get so obsessed with our children's lack of maturity that we forego our own maturity and we join them in the immaturity. They do something foolish, so we respond foolishly. They do something immature, we respond with immaturity too. But he says, no, you're the grown up here.
Yeah.
You follow me. And from that place of abiding in me and I'm abiding you and you're learning to bear fruit, then you invite them. So when they don't have self-control, we don't have to get angry. We lead by example. We invite them. If they are not acting as young people of faith, we act as grown-ups in faith. And we invite them into these conversations of faith and behavior of faith. But really that picture of jumping into the boxing ring, no, he says, you don't need to fight. You follow me, Wendy. You follow me, Emily. And then you invite your kids to come along.
That's
but
really
you're right.
Good.
When my kids are acting like kids, man, do I ever get upset?
Yeah.
And he says, no, I'm speaking to you about your behavior first.
I love that / hate it, but it's really good.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, Deuteronomy 11, who knew, right? It was for parents. It's all about our parenting.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So how has that changed in your home? And how long did that take for them to start making different choices?
Okay, let's make some bullet points. First, I was all out of whack, right? So you probably have some listeners who are just physically, emotionally, spiritually out of whack. Get in the Word. Your time in the Word will directly affect the words you speak. Your time in the Scriptures will affect the scripts you speak to your people. Get in the Word. If you are physically out of whack, you've got postpartum, you've got hormonal issues, you've got adrenal fatigue, stop shoving the leftover and brownies in your face for your lunch and get some healthy food. Yeah. Try to avoid refined sugars. Say goodbye to some caffeine. Drink a lot of water. Get some sleep. If you take care of your temple, you're going to be able to lead a worship service. If you don't take care of your temple, the temple of your home is all jacked up too.
Yeah. For sure.
So those are just a couple like practical things. Emotionally, if you are not emotionally stable right now, get some counseling. God tells us over and over in his word that we need a counselor. We need the counsel of wise people in our lives. From Titus 2 to Jesus is coming, when we're told he's our counselor. We know a man who has many counselors is blessed, I think is a proverb. Mm-hmm. Get some counsel. I am a huge advocate of get yourself into therapy. If you are realizing that the way you're speaking to your children has to do with long issues, deep issues, and you want to get down to the root system of those issues so you don't bear ugly fruit in their lives, get into some counseling. And then just start realizing, I encourage you right now, if you're listening, jot down two or three biggest triggers for you, either the things they do or the things about you that are consistently causing you to lose your cred. Mm-hmm. Jot them down. If you're married, take them before your husband and say, these are the three areas where I'm finding that I'm losing it. I'd love you to pray over those with me. I'm going to try to come up with some better responses to the kids when they do those things, or responses to being overtaxed, or responses to not getting enough sleep. Even those of you who have babies and say, yeah, thanks, I can't do that. No, figure out how you can, where you can. Get some rest. One of the things that I love is that God calls himself our peace, which I interpret also as being our rest. So if we're not having rest physically, how can we emotionally still rest? Yeah. In that famous psalm, he leads me beside still waters and restores my soul. He says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He makes me get the sleep I need. He makes me rest. Mm. So how do we do that? And start coming up just with these three things. Three very practical ways you can even either respond better or get the help you need in those circumstances so that you can have the wherewithal to respond better. Write down some scripts. Yeah. Maybe your first script is, okay, guys, we need to have a come to Jesus meeting over on the couch. Let's do it now. Nobody's angry at anybody, so let's do it now. Everybody's calm. And maybe your first script is, I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. I know I've said I'm sorry before, but like, this is the Big Mac Daddy of all I'm sorries. I'm sorry that I taught you that you only have to come to the table when I yell. Mm. I'm sorry that I have told you that you need to be in control of the way you speak to your siblings, but I'm not in control of the way I speak to your siblings or to you. I want to make some changes. Here are a couple things I'm going to do, and they should be written down first, like write a script. Mm. And here are a couple of things I'd like you to do.
That's good, because it like gives them, like, this is a real thing. Like, I wrote notes for this. Yeah. You know what I mean? It kind of helps give gravity to it.
Yeah. Write a script. What are you going to say? And then invite them into the transformation process. If you are momming alone, you are single, or your husband is never around, or your husband is always around but hands off. That's a real thing.
Yeah.
I know plenty of moms whose husbands are in their room with the clothes that she cleaned that day in a lump at his feet, and he's scrolling through YouTube videos while she's bathing the kids and getting them ready for bed. That right there can be a trigger, a very big one.
Yeah.
If you are doing it on your own, maybe that's the very first trigger you want to address. One, spend some time with the Lord and ask him to be your co-laborer. Really, we are his co-laborer, but ask him to give you everything you need for life and godliness. He says in his word that he will.
Yeah.
And then maybe write a script to share with your husband if you're married and he's unavailable, and say, these are some of the things I'm going through. These are some of the areas that I'm overtaxed and I'm not doing it well and I need some help. And then deliver that script in a moment when you're not bitter, so that he can possibly hear you. Man, we could go on and on. There are so many things, but there are lots of practical things you can do. Get in the word so that it changes your word. And then choose just one or two places in your life, one or two triggers where you're losing it, and say, God, give me the wisdom I need. One of the chapters in Triggers has my favorite prayer I've ever prayed in this mothering life. God says to Solomon, I'll give you anything you want. I'll give you anything you want. And mm-hmm. Solomon says, give me wisdom as I lead this great people of yours. Mm. And that has become the prayer that I pray for my kids. God, give me wisdom as I lead this great people of yours. Where am I losing it? How can I submit to you my words before they come out over my lips. Teach me, God, how to lead this great people of yours with gentleness, kindness, compassion, patience, self-control, joy. Because you've got my yes. I just need you to teach me, God.
Yeah, I love it. It's simple, right? For the moments where we're like just wound up really tight and we're not really in our highest brain functioning.
No. I think that happens when the last one goes to college.
Okay. Yes. I love it. So good. I will put both of the books in the show notes so people can get those if they don't already have them. I can't believe that Triggers came out 2 years ago already.
What? It's ridiculous. I know. And it's every month it's selling as many as it did in the third month. What? I mean, it's just, which doesn't say that we're great. It just says that women are in need of this conversation. Yeah. And that's what, one of the things I love most about these books is they're 31 short chapters. Okay. And they're like, there's no chapter longer than 6 pages. And really, we're just speaking to you about what you already want, what you already know. So it's just friends having a conversation. And so every day, just open it up. It takes like 7 minutes and you read and you join the conversation and then you let it inspire you for the way that you treat your family that day. Because change is possible. It absolutely is. We don't have to live a life where it's just conviction.
And I think that's what we forget. We just feel like we've been this way for so long. You know, or this is all I've ever seen.
Yeah. Well, there's the last Bible verse in the book. Chapter 31 is called Feelings of Guilt. Man, can't that be a trigger? You just feel so guilty.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Okay, the very last verse of the book is Isaiah 41, verses 18 through 19. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So there is hope. There is hope for the moms who are struggling, that they can actually struggle well.
I love it. So good. So good.
Thanks, Emily.
You're so welcome. I have one more question, though. What can you not stop talking about?
What can I not stop talking?
You had said kombucha.
I don't know. It might be because I'm in California. Like, I don't know if your friends in Michigan are talking about the same thing, but acai bowls and kombucha.
Okay.
Like, make me happy. It used to be, you know, like Reese's peanut butter cups and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But kombucha, you can find it at Trader Joe's or anywhere. I love it. And my gut feels so healthy. I thought for the longest time that I had some like serious medical issues, but since I've been having kombucha a couple times a week, I feel so healthy. And then acai bowls, it's like going for frozen yogurt, but you feel like you are being super healthy.
Where do you get something like that? Are they frozen already?
Yeah. Okay. So I think that no matter where you live, probably you can find acai packets at Costco.
Okay.
Or like a Whole Foods. But here in California, there are, like, you have yogurt, frozen yogurt places.
Yes.
We have acai bowl places. And it's like a sherbet or a sorbet, but it's made out of an acai berry, which has more antioxidants than blueberries.
Oh.
And they put like hemp seed and granola and strawberries and blueberries and peanut butter or whatever you want on top of it. And oh my word, it just like, I'm stuttering right now because I'm getting so excited about it, just talking about it.
So you don't make your own, you go to a place?
Yeah.
Because they're everywhere.
I myself to one a week because I think I could have a sincere addiction.
Yeah. I want to look it up and see if I have one. I'm in Dallas.
Consider this your invitation to come visit me and I will take you for an acai bowl.
Well, consider that done.
All right.
Love it. Yay. Well, thank you so much, Wendy. This has really been what I needed to hear.
I'm glad.
All right, ladies, I know that you got a lot out of that because I know I sure did. I loved Wendy's perspective. She's really got a lot of wisdom and she said a lot of things I'm going to implement myself. So let's talk about it. What is your strategy to struggle well going to be this week based on what Wendy said? Maybe you have a really artistic kiddo who would love to do something in the performing arts and you have felt a little unsure about if that's practical or a good idea. Should you encourage that or steer them towards the medical profession or something? And listen, I'm a nurse. I'm not throwing any shade on the medical profession. But maybe you encourage them to do what they're passionate about and let God do what he's going to do. Maybe you struggle well this week by taking a machete to your calendar and really start making some margin appear and then guard it with your life. so that you can mom well these precious angels who live in your house. Maybe you sit down this week and have a look at your anger and realize it really is more about you than about your kids. What is it that is triggering you so much? I loved what she said about having a meeting with your kids and saying, listen, these are the things that I'm working on, and ask for forgiveness if you need to. Tell them what your plan is. That's a great way to model the fact that we need to clean up our messes and know what we're doing going forward. And like she said, bring, you know, concerns that you have to your husband about your husband, and do that in a low tide moment where things aren't going to be stormy and you can just have a conversation about where you'd like to see maybe a little more help if that's what it is. It's so valuable for us to take a moment and identify what are our triggers. I know for me, between like three, well, really the whole afternoon is hard for me because I'm usually trying to finish up a little bit of work, but whoops, I forgot to plan dinner and everybody's hungry. We're all a little bit tired and sometimes it can just not go well. So I need to wake up and have some thought about the afternoon. What's that going to look like? And what's my plan when those triggers come? Because I have yet to have a day where there wasn't an afternoon. So it is coming and I want to be ready for it. Wendy's books are going to be in the show notes, and you could also find them at the Amazon affiliate page for the Mom Struggling Well podcast. That is amazon.com/shop/momstrugglingwell. And you can find those books there. And when you use the Amazon affiliate link, Amazon gives a little bit of money to the show at no cost to you. So it's an easy and free way for you to support this podcast. And a new thing we're doing is I'm talking to my sister about what some of y'all have purchased. Don't worry, it's anonymous, using the show's affiliate link. So let's listen in to that little chitter chat. What did you want to talk about from the affiliate link today, Kate?
Okay, so this is an adult coloring book. I'm cool with adult coloring books. Okay. Have you ever done one?
You know what? I always think that's dumb and I don't have time for it. And then I start it and I love it.
I know. I did. I thought it was dumb too, but I wanted my kids to color more.
Yeah.
So I figured if I'm there, I'd rather make something pretty.
Yeah.
Okay, so adult coloring book looks pretty. 2-star review.
Okay.
She's medium. She's all right. Is not a 1-star.
Yeah.
But she said, it's not where I expected.
Where?
She can't find it, I guess.
Jeez. I expected it to be in the box on my porch.
Was it in the mailbox? She wanted it on the porch?
That's nope. What it says. It's not where I expected.
Was it? Oh, was this review helpful? No. Not at all.
Did she find it? I'm on pins and needles.
I don't know.
That is so funny.
Poor lady.
Still out there walking the neighborhood looking for the coloring book. I love it. All right, ladies, let me go ahead and pray for us. Lord, thank you that you are not surprised that we get really angry sometimes. Thank you that you are not disappointed in us. You're not mad at us, but certainly you want us to excel still more. I pray for these moms who are so ashamed of their anger that they would rather die than have anybody know how much they're struggling. Lord, you tell us to bring things into the light. God, would you give them the bravery that they need to step out even though they're afraid and tell someone that they're struggling. I pray for the mom who is trying to avoid motherhood like the plague, like she's meeting her kids' needs, but that's about it. Pray that you'd help her to lean in. Lord, I get how much that is. Sounds like a terrible idea because that's where I was when you asked me to start this show. But you're faithful to meet us when we start acting in obedience towards you. And so I pray for these moms. I pray that you would meet them where they are, encourage their hearts, and strengthen them to keep in step with your spirit, like Wendy said. God, help us grow to be more like you. That's what we want. Help us to get out of the way of that progress. In Jesus' name, amen.